you, Linda. God bless you. We're grateful for your song as well as your testimony. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. My question for you this morning is simply this: will you bear the cross of Christ? Will you bear the cross of Jesus Christ? In our study of Mark's gospel, it is between the hours of 6 and 8 a.m. on Friday morning, the day that the Lord Jesus was crucified. And if I can just remind you where we have been in the recent Sundays, it was on Thursday night there in Jerusalem when Jesus gathered his disciples, more than likely at John Mark's house in an upper room. And he celebrated the Passover meal with them and then instituted, transitioning from the Passover meal to the instituting of the Lord's Supper. Then he and his disciples left that upper room and after 10 p.m. on Thursday night went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. For Jesus knew what was about to happen. And then, led by Judas Iscariot, the traitor, Jesus was confronted there in the Garden of Gethsemane late in the evening and apprehended, arrested, taken into custody. It was then after midnight where he experienced his first trial of the day on Friday, his religious trial conducted by the Sanhedrin, charging Jesus with blasphemy and condemning him to death after they had felt sure that he was guilty. However, because they did not have the authority to carry out the capital punishment, around dawn, he was taken to Pilate, where his second trial of the day happened. At the hands of Pilate and also Herod, this political trial or secular trial was not with the charge of blasphemy, but with the charge of treason, attempting to overthrow Caesar and not wanting to have or deal with an angry mob. Pilate gave the Jews what they were asking: a death sentence for the Lord Jesus. Jesus was then ushered out of the city on the road to a place called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. And in this particular day and time, those who were sentenced to death by crucifixion were required to carry their crossbeam. The technical term is patibulum, weighing somewhere between 60 and 100 pounds, carrying their crossbeam across their back and across their shoulders. But keep in mind, the emotional distress, the physical exhaustion, the spiritual warfare, And most recently, the scourging at the hands of the Roman soldiers. Jesus, on his way, could not do what was required. Therefore, Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. Will you bear the cross of Christ? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, please give us for these next few moments insight into your word. And then I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply it to our heart and to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the road. Then they. What seems to be a random act, although because of what we know about the whole of Scripture, we know that there is no such thing. But in their minds, the Roman soldiers, seeing that Jesus could not continue, arbitrarily grabbed someone who was a bystander. We don't know if Simon was there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. We don't know if this first century Jew was just simply passing through. But regardless, Simon from Cyrene, from northern Africa, from modern day Libya, seeing all that was going on, was compelled, was forced. Your translation may say pressed into service to bear his cross. What does that mean, to bear the cross of Christ? Well, for Simon, in this particular instance, it meant to literally and publicly carry the cross of Jesus Christ. The patibulum, the crossbeam, because Jesus couldn't do it. Simon was forced to do this. But I believe that he had chosen to do this earlier in his life. Because throughout the New Testament, beginning in Matthew's gospel, can I just show you a few instances? Would you look at Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And then in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then in Mark chapter 8, I direct your attention to verse 34. When Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 9, in verse 23, Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And then finally in Luke chapter 14, verse 27. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So this idea of bearing the cross of Christ, or carrying the cross of Christ, it simply means to follow the Lord Jesus. To follow the Lord Jesus as a disciple. And he is the master. Again, Simon of Cyrene was here forced to carry the cross of Christ, literally and publicly, but all throughout the Gospels, brothers and sisters, we see the invitation and the challenge to voluntarily and personally carry the cross of Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, will you carry the cross of Christ? Will you follow Jesus as Savior and Lord? Will you serve Him as the master of your life? Now, what does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. We hear about Simon in Matthew's gospel, as well as Luke's gospel. But Mark's gospel tells us something unique. Would you look again at Mark 15, 21? "Then they," the Roman soldiers, "compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian." And then listen to this. Matthew doesn't say this, Luke doesn't say this, but Mark does. "The father of Alexander and Rufus." Now, if you were to look in a concordance, which is a tool, a Bible tool, to let you know all of the occasions when certain words are used, you would find in the New Testament there are four instances of Alexanders. Tonight, we're going to look at those. So come back this evening, 6:30, we'll look. In all four instances, Alexander is not a proponent of the Lord Jesus, but an opponent of the Lord Jesus. Did you catch that? He was not a follower of Christ, he was the antagonist of Christ. Even though Simon, his father, was a follower of the Lord. Now, I'm fully aware that in this room, there are multiple parents, multiple fathers and mothers who have prodigal children. You've told me about them. We pray for them, and we will continue to pray for them. And here's what we know by life experience, that you can, generally speaking, train up a child in the way in which he or she should go, and generally speaking, when they are old, they will not depart from it. And the reason why I say generally speaking is because some of you in here this morning and perhaps watching online, you have raised your child, your children, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, but of their own choosing, they have become a prodigal. And so, moms and dads, you cannot guarantee how your children will turn out, but you can guarantee how you will raise them. I'm tempted to do what Brother Taylor had done previously. Let me say that again. You can't guarantee how your children will turn out, moms and dads, but you can guarantee how you will raise them. Y'all still aren't awake. I want to speak just a moment this morning for Simon and for our fathers and mothers this morning, our moms and dads. What does it mean for you to bear the cross of Christ? To bear the cross of Christ, moms and dads, listen to this, means to disciple your children. Means for you to disciple your children. You see, there's four instances of Alexander, and we don't know if any of those Alexanders was the son of Simon, but there's only one mention of Rufus. And it was the mention of Rufus in Romans chapter 16. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 16 and verse 13. Paul is reminding the Roman church of some individuals. And the reason why we can more confidently say that this Rufus was the same Rufus mentioned there in Mark 15 is because if you'll also remember, Mark's gospel is written to Roman Christians. And so Paul, here in Romans chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Moms and dads, let me say this, let me make it plain as I can, clear to you. If you don't disciple your children, the world will. If you don't disciple your children in the ways of the Lord, I'm going back here a little bit, and for those of you, some of you will recognize this. If you don't disciple your children in the ways of the Lord, the bathroom stall at Texaco will. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't disciple your children in the ways of the Lord, I can promise you Snapchat will, Instagram will, TikTok will, YouTube will. Bearing the cross of Christ means discipling your children. I'm confident of Simon being that first century faithful and committed Jew. He discipled his children, Alexander and Rufus. And at least in Rufus, it took. Now, what does it mean to disciple your children? Can I invite you to turn to the Old Testament for just a moment? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And beginning in verse 4, listen to how Simon would have discipled his children. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The basic, simplest Jewish confession of faith. Simon taught his sons that there were not multiple gods as the other nations believed. There was one true God, and his name was Jehovah. And the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 58, has a very similar declaration when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Moms and dads, can I tell you that that is a belief and a conviction that you have to teach your children today? Because the world will teach them the religion of moralism. If I'm good enough, If I'm good enough in school and I'm good enough on the athletic court and I'm good enough in band and I'm good enough with my parents and I'm good enough with my friends, and if I'm good enough, then someday God will be gracious and merciful to me and welcome me into his kingdom based on my goodness. That is absolutely false. God will welcome you into the kingdom of heaven only on the basis of the perfection of his Son, whether you have received him or rejected him. But moms and dads, you have to be clear on that yourself. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Moms and dads, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You can't disciple your children in something that isn't true for you. It has to start with you and your relationship with the Lord. And then, once that is settled, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Moms and dads, you have to be intentional in talking about the ways of the Lord in your house. And to even take a step back, you've got to be intentional about scheduling time in your house. Because kids are going every which way. To this practice, and to this meeting, and to this study hall, and to this friend's house, and to this game. And if you don't schedule intentionally time to talk about the things of God, I'll say it again, if you won't disciple your children, the world will. And please understand, it's not my job. My job is to disciple three young ladies. My job is not to disciple your children. That's your job. Just take a step further. It's not Brother Ronnie's job. His job is to disciple three young men. To disciple your children is your job. Now, we can help you. We can equip you. We can assist you. We can encourage you. But it rests on your shoulders. One of the perks of parenthood. Discipling your children, brothers and sisters, is how you can bear the cross of Christ in this new year. But there's something else here. There's something else here in this Romans passage of Scripture. Can you turn back to Romans chapter 16 and verse 13? As I was studying this past week, and I was reading these passages of scriptures in multiple translations, the New Living Translation translates Romans 16:13 differently. Listen to what Paul says in the New Living Translation. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother. So Rufus's mother would be Simon's wife. But then what does Paul say? Who has been a mother to me. Which is different than the way the New King James translates it. The New King James translates it where it appears to be two women. But the New Living Translation seems to indicate it's just one woman. It's Rufus's biological mother, Simon's wife, but the same lady who has been a mother to Paul. So what does that mean? Not only does bearing your cross honoring the Lord, serving the Lord, mean discipling your children, but it also means serving others. You see, that's what Simon did. Simon served the Lord Jesus. He literally took up his crossbeam and carried it for him because he couldn't carry it. See, I think Simon modeled his serving others to his wife and to his children, who then, Simon's wife, in turn, served Paul. And brothers and sisters, if you are ever committing to memory the words of Christ, certainly Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39 is worthy of your memory. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Our world today needs to see the body of Christ serving others. Serving others in the church, serving others in our family, serving others in our community. And that means that it's not always going to be people just like you that you're serving. That doesn't mean that it's going to be people who agree with you that you're serving. You see, the commitment to carry the cross of Christ is just simply to serve. To love your neighbor as yourself. To serve others as you serve the Lord. So again, will you carry the cross of Christ? Will you disciple your children? Will you serve others? Today I give you that challenge. I extend that invitation to you. Many of you are here this morning and you have already made the decision to follow Christ, and I am grateful and thankful for that. But if you're here today and you have never made the decision to follow Christ, I invite you to do so this morning. I invite you, and in just a moment, after I finish praying, Brother Chris will come to lead us. We'll be standing and singing across the auditorium, and I'll be standing here at the front. And I just want to invite you, if you've never made the decision to follow Christ previously, to step out of one of these aisles, to come here to the front, and be glad to welcome you. Glad to pray with you, glad to celebrate with you, glad to counsel with you. If you're making that first time decision today to follow Christ. For others of you this morning, if you've already made that decision, but today, moms and dads, you need to make that recommitment to discipling your children. Or husbands, you need to make that recommitment to leading your family, to serving others. Maybe God's leading you, as we spoke about previously in those 25 individuals at the beginning of our service, maybe the Lord is leading you to serve others formally and officially here at Emory Baptist Church. If you're a guest today and God's leading you to unite with us, we'd love to welcome you. We'll take care of the details of your church membership if that's what God is leading you to do today. Maybe it means following in believer's baptism. Maybe there are other decisions that you need to come here this morning and just as an act of your commitment, kneel here at the front and praying, just you and the Lord. But today, will you bear the cross of Christ? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful today for Simon. We're grateful and thankful that at some point in his life previously, he had voluntarily chosen to bear the cross of Christ. And Lord, thank you for this picture on the pages of Scripture that we see of him being pressed into service. We're grateful that he discipled his sons. We're grateful that he led his family. And Lord, if there are those here today who've never made the decision, the personal decision, to follow Christ, Lord. Would you convict them today of their lostness? Would you give them faith to believe, Lord? And would you give them courage to confess you before men? Father, we turn our invitation over to you and trust you to do your work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come today on the very first stanza?